Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. Stay up to date by following Devin on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or downloading wherever you listen to podcasts. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here's your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We're glad to have back on Dan, the oil man, knows everything about energy. Dan, you've been a guest on this podcast several times over the past couple of years since we started. And it's because of your background in energy. And you're relevant now. I thought everything was going to be good through the winter. Windmills are going good, solar panels, everybody's energy prices are rocketing, but everybody at least had energy, at least other than here in California, where we continue to have a brownouts. But Dan, this is something that you've actually been warning me about now for nearly two decades. And that is that renewables are great, except when the wind doesn't blow, or the sun doesn't shine, or when your windmills freeze up in this case. And you know, no matter what, without batteries, without storage capacity, if you don't have something to carry the base load, you're going to have major outages. And I think this is something that no one predicted would happen other than you and many experts, because at the end of the day, energy is one of those things. It's very simple. It's very simple math. And you have to make sure that you have enough redundancy built into the system for these types of catastrophic issues that do arise, whether it's always unpredictable, as we know. So let's break it down for the listener. What exactly can you explain the Texas situation? Because right away, the fake news and the left, the socialist left, they're trying to run around and say, "Oh, it's oil and gas's fault that this happened, not the windmills." Which, you know, the irony of that is just, you know, whatever they accuse you of doing, they're actually doing. So in this case, they're blaming oil and gas industry when, you know, clearly this is a matter of, I think, well, I'll let you answer it, but it seems to me like it's pretty simple. They just got way too reliant on renewable energy and didn't have enough to carry the base load. But I'll let you take it from there, Dan. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you, Congressman. Good to see you. Whatever they're attacking you for is what they're doing. And that's what's happening here. In the case of Texas, a lot of people don't understand it, but Texas gets 28% of its electricity on average from wind, which is more than any other state. I mean, they're by far the biggest wind state. And they've done that as a result of federal and state policies that have subsidized it and pushed it into the system. And because Texas is a big, huge gas state, they've actually also relied on natural gas as backup. But the more of the renewables that you stuff into the system, the less base load you have. And so these plants sit idle over here, rusting or not being taken care of and that sort of thing, because they're not used as much because wind's taking all the gravy off the top. They're taking all the cream off the top. And that's what happened here. And so despite what the press is saying, the fact of the matter is right before this happened, 50% of Texas's energy electricity was coming from wind. And as a matter of fact, when it started to crater, it was at 42% and dropped to 8% of production. That meant everything else had to crank up. And they did. Natural gas cranked up, coal cranked up, and responded to it, and we're producing two and three times as much energy as they typically do. And then the cold hit again, and some of that began to fail, and they're using that as an excuse to justify the idea that somehow they were not producing. But they were producing the bulk of the electricity, and wind had just disappeared, gone.
Right. And then just to be clear, and I want to make sure that I understand and the listener and viewers understand here, it's not that there's anything wrong with the wind. The wind's subsidized, as we know. People pay more for it. West Texas, obviously large landmass, a lot of wind out there. So, you know, over the long run, the challenge has been with these renewables. It's really about the storage, because you have those peaks and valleys. And so without storage capacity, and that's been the challenge, the batteries just don't store enough for these types of challenges. You know, if you had a situation where you had a 2 or 3 or even a week storage, likely windmills would probably be quite competitive with some of these other fuels, but the technology is just not there. So this was actually a combination of coal-fired plants have been taken offline all over the country over the last 20 years. And because you had the combination, I think, the intersection of harsh cold weather, no coal or nuclear power to carry the base load, and then the natural gas was needed to both heat homes and to run power plants. Is that essentially the dynamic there?
Correct. Yeah, people who were using natural gas were using more of it. They prioritize it going to homes and hospitals and businesses, schools and the like, where they use it. And so they can't get as much for the electrical system when the demand is high. And that happened. But you're absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with a certain amount of renewables in your system. But once you get beyond a certain level, and it's being tested in various places, whether it's Texas or California, you begin to really run out of running room in terms of the safety and reliability of the system. And it puts everybody in jeopardy, plus it drives up the cost. And you mentioned batteries. Batteries are one of the things that they're talking about, but batteries are enormously expensive. And where do you think 80% of the battery manufacturing process occurs in the world?
Let me guess. I'll guess China.
You win. So what they're doing is saying, let's stop using the energy we produce here at home better than anybody else in the world, because we're number one in energy so far. Let's stop using the nuclear that the United States invented. Let's stop using the coal that we have the world's largest supplies of. Let's stop using natural gas, which we produce more than anybody else in the world. And we'll go to these solar panels made in China, the parts of the windmills that are made in China, and the batteries. And because we need those sources, which require backup, let's install some big, huge, honking batteries all over the place, covering the land, that are made in China. And so we go from, at the worst peak of our energy dependency upon the Middle East, it was 23% of our oil coming from the Middle East. And what they're proposing is that we go to 80% dependency on China. And somehow that's a national security thing. When we're giving up our own energy supplies in order to do so. This makes no sense.
And also that the technology is just not there yet in the batteries. And we don't know what happens to these batteries once, you know, how do you recycle them? I mean, that's the other challenge. They're very expensive. They're being imported from China, who's obviously trying. China loves this because they're eating our lunch. I mean, they're building coal-fired plants. They're building nuclear power plants. You know, they're not putting up very many windmills and solar panels in China, as people may think. Maybe in obscure, hard-to-get-to places they're using them, but they're not using renewables for their baseload. And for a country that wants to dominate the world, you would think all of the fools on the socialist left would look around and analyze this and say, wait a second, if our main adversary is willing to sell us this garbage, but they're not willing to put it in themselves, and they're, you know, refusing to commit to these, you know, the same levels that, you know, that we're willing to commit to in terms of carbon emission reductions, you would think somebody would wake up one day and say, wow, there could be something wrong here.
You would think so, Congressman. I mean, I look at this and I say, American energy independence is something we worked for 6 or 7 decades. We finally got it. Now we're saying, let's throw that out the door and switch over to China for our energy future. And those are just the facts.
And also, I think it's important to note that we became energy independent, and we've had you on the show many times before, but it's always important to make sure that we're educating everyone. It was despite what the government was doing. It was done on private land. The reason that we are energy independent right now and free of Middle East oil and gas is for one reason only. It was because of fracking on private land. And so we've subsidized everybody's electricity prices are skyrocketing, when the truth is we actually probably should have some of the lowest energy prices we've ever had, because we do have an abundance of natural gas and coal. But because you're taking all of that offline, importing all this stuff from China, that's very expensive. And there's all these other questions out there, I still say, about the, you know, what's going to happen when we have to dispose of this, you know, toxic metals, toxic acid in these batteries. You know, what are we going to do with them? That's something, of course, that the left doesn't want to talk about. And I'm sure that we'll spend trillions of dollars someday having to put all this stuff into some Superfund site that to try to bury it and get rid of it. So clearly now there's going to be a push to blame oil and gas somehow, that it was their fault. Or the windmills, of course, are going to be fine, and the media will run with this. And that's the reason I have my podcast, is to make sure that those people that want to be informed understand that this was not the responsibility of anybody but horrible policies that we've made at the federal level. And I don't fault, you know, Texas necessarily, because they do have, as the federal government's pushing wind, they've got a lot of wind out in West Texas. But clearly somebody dropped the ball, not looking for that single point of failure that would be freezing cold temperatures and ice for a sustained period of time, which, you know, this is not the first time that it's been freezing snow and wet rain and sleet in West Texas. It does get cold out there.
Yes, it does. And in the past, the system is borne up. I mean, you lose some lines, you lose some transform, that sort of thing. But never did we have the bottom dropout where they had to shut down everyone's power because there wasn't enough power being created because a major source just dropped out of the system and everything else had to make up for it. It was running faster and harder, and some of it broke. Now they're claiming that the parts that broke were responsible, when in reality, the initial part that broke that started us down the road was the wind side of things. So, yeah, there's a place for it. The question is whether it's a place that's been contemplated well enough in terms of both the technology and the economics and all the rest, and what's going to ultimately happen to our system. Is it going to become reliant on the Chinese for all of our basic infrastructure?
Well, I'm sure the solution, there's never been, the socialist Democrats have never found a problem that there's not a solution that they can pay for using everybody else's money. And I'm old enough to remember, Dan, and so are you, back in 2009 when the Democrats had super control, Obama was president, and they passed this huge stimulus bill because, of course, you know, they needed it to improve the economy, so they said. Very similar to what's happening right now. You know, we just passed another COVID relief bill. We've, you know, borrowed trillions of dollars over the course of the last year of this pandemic. Now they want to spend $2 trillion more. And I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, well, we're going to need to invest in American-made batteries. If we just made investments and subsidized, we could make the batteries here. But just for those of you who don't know, for our young audience, just look up something. Don't use Google. Use any other search engine but Google. Look up Solyndra. It was a gift to a bunch of Democrat socialist cronies. I think it was something in the around $500 million that just disappeared, went up in smoke into people's pockets. And so, sorry, socialist Democrats, we've already tried that. You remember Solyndra. Give us your take on it.
Yeah, they're already talking about it. They're already talking about how we need to strengthen the grid and harden the grid and make the grid available for renewables. Well, that's just a direct additional subsidy to renewables that are costing billions of dollars to taxpayers now, yearly. I mean, the amount of money is just mind-boggling.
And I should say, Dan, just to make a point before you finish that thought, what's happening here is this is a lot of big corporations, big hedge funds that have these front companies that are going to be willing to take this money to, as you said, strengthen the grid. And they're going to take that money, taxpayer dollars, and they're going to send it to China to bring that technology back. I promise you. And at the end of the day, we will continue to make progress in batteries, but it's going to be very, very slow. I mean, we've seen, you know, clearly, I think Tesla's been on the edge of this. They've had a lot of subsidies up front, but you are dealing with one of the best, you know, entrepreneurs in Elon Musk in many generations. And so he's making a quality product. And now, you know, that's a company that is now becoming very profitable. And, you know, they're starting to figure out how to make batteries better and last longer. But it's been a slow process. I mean, Tesla's been around now for quite a long time. And, you know, and you still can't drive very far in a Tesla. If you're trying to, if you're going uphill and going for a drive, you're probably going to run out of energy in a couple hours.
Right. And until those supply chains are cleared up in terms of where this stuff comes from, because if it's being made, if the products are being made by Uyghur slave labor in China, so that we could feel better about ourselves driving in a Tesla here in the United States, that ought to be something that concerns people. And it ought to be concerning of people that the technology will move. I have no doubt America's the greatest nation on earth in terms of our ability to move the needle on these things. But if China controls all of the supplies that go into these things, they're going to hold those back for their own uses. They're already talking about that with rare earth minerals and the like. So ultimately, we're going down a path in which we know there are significant challenges, but we're rushing down the path. And Washington right now is out of control in terms of just pushing the narrative rather than actually seeking to follow to solve the problems.
And they're going to go to their same play call, which is never let a crisis go to waste. Texas ran out of energy. We need another $1 trillion to go solve the problem. It's very, very predictable, Dan. Well, hey, Dan, thanks a lot for being on again. And I'm sure you'll be on again soon because energy is always an issue. And it's always an issue that where the people that are actually making the energy, moving the energy, doing the tough work that it takes to make this country great and to make this country run, make the economy run, and all the men and women that are out there in that industry doing it. Every once in a while you wake up when you don't have power, it makes it tough to live, and it's a big wake-up call for people. And so I think it's just important that the American people understand, let's not continue to do what led to the problem in Texas. You know, let's get back to the basics. Let's start to really look at how we're going to have a base power load and figure out and let this technology on renewables build out slowly without jeopardizing American lives.
Well said. Well said. And the way Washington looks at it is that it's not about energy. It's about power.
Always true. Well, Dan, thanks a lot. Dan the Oil Man. It's Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Stay up to date by following Devin Nunes on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or download wherever you listen to podcasts.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith. Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. As we
we're already half the way there.
paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.